Pastor Jim.
Grab your Bibles, please. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. There are four chapters in this little book, the last letter Paul writes, so find chapter 4 and we'll dig in there. I want to thank all of you again. Pastor Jim and Lori took us in and we just had a great time together. It's been fun to be back with you and for Lyle and Debbie and all the Mission Commission for the work you've done. This is an incredible conference. And for the music team, too, I want to thank you guys for getting us going in every language of the world. Man, that was fun. By the way, if you're from Texas, it's easy for you to understand this language. But some of these Yankees, and you can tell I'm not a true Texan. This actually happened. Guy came from Michigan to Dallas Seminary, never heard Texan in his life. Went to a restaurant, had a good meal, paid the fare. Starting walking out, and the lady said, "Y'all come back here." So he turned around and went back. He said, "Didn't I pay the right amount?" "Oh, no, we just say that." Oh, it's so good to be here. I just thank God for you. And Libby and I have enjoyed our time here immensely. It's such a short time, but a blessed time. And I will continue to pray for you. I hope you pray for us when you think of us, my little wifey and me, and for our family, and for our ministry, and especially for this Doctor of Ministries thing we got going in Spanish. Pray for all of those students. They're top-notch leaders doing the work of God. So you pray for us. I keep telling people, if you can't remember any other way, pray for the Blues on Monday. Let's pray right now. God, I do thank you for the blessing it is to be here. I thank you for this privilege. And for the delight it is to worship you and honor you together, we just praise you. We glorify you. Thank you for this conference. And I especially thank you for a church that cares about the whole world. And for representatives that are literally covering the globe. I thank you for every one of them. Help them to feel a part of the conference, even though they all cannot be here. And then help us right now as we open your word. Once more, we recognize the limitations upon us. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that we might be able to hear your voice as we read from these pages. Above all, I pray that you'd help all of us to respond, to do what you say, that we might obey your mandates to reach out to the nations around the world. Thank you for what you will do in these moments that we have together. In Christ's name, amen. I was down teaching at Palavra de Vida, that's Word of Life, down in Brazil. And it happened to be the week when the World Olympics were on. And one day I was actually just walking down the corridor and happened to notice a group of students around that television set watching a race. And I'm not that excited about some of these sports, but this was rather interesting. The women's marathon. And I knew enough to know, in a marathon, anybody who crosses the finish line is a winner. I mean, that is a big race. As you know, they go a long, long distance. And typical, in this case, they've been out in the marathon, and then the runners came back into the stadium for the last lap. But I stopped and watched, and all of a sudden I noticed there was a lot of excitement in the stadium. Because one of the ladies wasn't going for gold, silver, or bronze. She was just trying to get across the finish line. And she was weaving back and forth, barely able to keep going. All of a sudden, I saw a doctor in his white coat get along one side of her. A nurse was on the other side. They couldn't touch her, or she'd be disqualified. But they walked along and ran along with her at each side. And the people in the crowd began to get up on their feet. And everybody was cheering her on. I mean, it was incredible. It was a great festival. And sure enough, she fell over the finish line into the arms of that doctor. So I watched that race. I thought, now that's a picture of the Christian life. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. Got to keep at it. Keep on. Keep on. And this is so important for all of us. Of course, at my age, I'm sure thinking of that. There's the finish line, maybe right there. But I want to cross that finish line, standing up. Keep on. So we've seen four little mandates from this little book of 2 Timothy. All of you who have been here can help me out. First chapter, link up. Second chapter, reach out. Third chapter, stand firm. And finally,
Keep on. Now, everybody, here we go. Ready? Link up. Reach out. Stand firm.
Keep on. Keep on keeping on. That's what we'll see here in this fourth chapter. The last letter we have in the Word of God written by Paul. And he writes this, I'm convinced, from a dungeon. Very touching conclusion to his life. Shortly thereafter, we are convinced he is martyred. But right here we go. Listen to the final words of this great apostle, missionary, Paul. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Man, I love those verses. And you notice all that preface goes on before the command of preach the word. So I put down this. We need to advance in God's assignment. Here's the mandate. It's the mandate for the nations. Preach the word. And if I could say it this morning, you are blessed with great teaching in this church. Your pastor, I know, teaches the word so well. And while he's gone, Pastor Randy is right here ready to step in. And you have so many people that know and preach the word. But I want to emphasize this. It's really not the guy who stands behind this desk that is most important. It's what's on this desk. This is God's word. And I know that's why you like to be here. And I like the middle name of this church. Bible. That's a good middle name, isn't it? It's Bible. And that's what we need. We need this, the Word of God. And that's why he says, here's my command. You want a mandate? Preach the Word. And of course, he leads up to that command with this long, involved process of verse 1. Now, watch this. We need to, number one, if you're filling in the notes there, communicate the Word of God. Preach not in the sense that I'm doing. We communicate the word. I call it chatter the good news. Wherever we are, we can talk about the things of the Lord. And I'd like to give a little encouragement here. When you're talking to people, you're not sure if they know the Lord or not, ask them. Tell me how you came to know the Lord. But always continue by saying, or are you somewhere along the way? Got that? Gives them a multiple choice. It's a good question. I remember I was down in Houston. And slipped in before I preached at this church into the nursery. And a dear lady who spoke Spanish, and that excites me anytime I'm around people who speak the language. La lengua de los ángeles, ¿verdad? Amen. I got a feel you say that. I was telling my brother here, I said that to one guy, I said, La lengua de los ángeles. And he said, Sí, Los Ángeles, California. Right. But I got to talking with this dear leader, the dear lady who was hired by the church to help in the nursery. And we talked about a relationship with the Lord. I said, tell me how you came to know the Lord. She hesitated. Or I said, are you somewhere along the way? She said, well, I guess I'm somewhere along the way. Man, we had a delightful conversation. And the timing was perfect. She was holding this little baby just rocking. And the baby was asleep. I said, would you like to do it right now? She said, yes. And in Spanish, she put her trust in Christ right there. Man, that is so exciting. It's not that difficult to sort of chatter the good news. Just look for the opportunities. Wherever you are, let's all keep doing it. Talk about the things of the Lord. And you can say to folks, look, I don't know what he's going to do for you, but let me tell you what he's done for me. And just give your own testimony. Powerful. Nothing more powerful. So, chatter the good news. Communicate the word. Number two, we convict with the word. Yes, it's the word that convicts. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct and rebuke. Yes, the word of God does have that power to convict people. Let me give you another practical idea how to communicate the word. I speak to a lot of people on planes that don't know the Lord. That's why I find the good raw pagans on those airplanes. And I love it because they're strapped in. They can't get away from you. They've got them. I love to give this example of how I get into the topic, people I don't even know. This guy's on this side of me on a plane coming back from San Francisco to Dallas. And I do have a system when I don't know anything about the person to sort of get acquainted. I use my little formula. This might help you. You might like to write these down. F-O-R-M. Start with F, family. Everybody likes to talk about family. I looked for a wedding ring. I didn't see it. So I said, are you married? He said, no. But I'm living with a gal. I didn't say, oh, no, that's terrible. You don't do that. I just moved to my next question. Family. Oh, occupation. I said, what type of work you do? And he told me about his work. Zero-based budget advisor. And he had this job in Texas. He said, I'm from Connecticut. But he said, my company lets me fly anywhere I want to on a weekend. This is a two-week job. I've never been to San Francisco. So I thought I'll go out to San Francisco just for fun. And I thought, yeah, to be on this plane with me coming back. But I didn't say that. I moved to my third question. Family, occupation, religious background. You don't breathe hard on that and say, do you have a religion? No, no, no. Just like the other question. He didn't hesitate for a minute. He said, look, I'm Jewish background. And he said, the gal I'm living with is Roman Catholic background. He says, as far as I'm concerned, everything I've seen of religion is a ripoff. Well, I said, you may be right. Who am I to talk to you about religion? I don't want to talk about that. I would like to talk about a relationship with God. F, family. O, occupation. R, religious background. O, form, F-O-R-M, message. We're already sliding into home. And I began to draw a little diagram, and he didn't seem too interested. So I thought, well, I have books to read. I have some things I need to do. So I thought to myself, I guess I'll just let him have it. I said, by the way, you know what God calls living with a gal like that?
No.
I said, God calls that fornication. That's sin. Nobody's ever talked to me like that. I said, don't look at me. I'm not the one that says it. God says that. Well, I wanted to read a book. He wanted to talk. For 2.5 hours, we talked about that relationship with the Lord. And as the plane's making its approach to the Dallas-Fort Worth airport, he turns to me and said, say, do you perform wedding ceremonies? It is fun to talk to people about the Lord. I mean it. So take off. Try that formula. F-O-R-M. Because the Word of God is the one that brings the conviction. That's not up to us to do. We just communicate it, communicate, convict, and then conform to the Word. And that's what it says at the end of that verse 2. It says, with great patience, you encourage with great patience and careful instruction. It is the Word of God that changes the world. Now, there's the first thing we need to do. We need to advance God's assignment. What is assignment? Preach the Word. What does the world need? It needs the Word. Number two. We acknowledge God's approach. How do we do this? How can we keep on preaching the Word? Well, it's right here. We acknowledge God's approach. And I see 3 points. Number one, be constant. Be constant. Look at verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine or sound teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. If that isn't today, I don't know what is. People are looking for something that's sort of more pleasing. And I'm so grateful for all of you here this morning who come here who want the Word of God. And you want sound teaching of the Word of God, or you wouldn't be here. But I see so many people, even some well-meaning Christian people who are sort of flocking like moths to a bulb. I see this mega church movement. It sort of bothers me. People are flipping around from one light to another. Got one that's a 60 watt over here. So they're flying around that thing. All of a sudden there appears an 80 watt bulb over here. Oh, brrr. Then there's a 100 watt bulb. Brrr. I'll go over there. Oh, now that is not church. This is the family of God right here, and it's not fluttering around some little bulb. It's getting next to God and honoring Him. And that's why I appreciate here. This is a church that cares about reaching the world. These flags need to be up. You have representatives in every one of those countries. And as I said last night, suddenly hit me. The sun never sets on the Ministry of Grace Bible. Never sets. The minute we go to bed, there are people representing this church on the other side of the globe doing the work of God. This is a big, vibrant church. Get excited about it. And he says, be constant. Keep at this. Number two, be careful. Be careful. Verse 4. These people will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. No, we don't want to do that. Stick with the truth. Be careful in your life. You walk with the word. And finally, be committed. Be committed. Verse 5. But you, we're different, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, and that's all of us. We all have ministry. That's service. Every one of us is put in a place where God wants to use us. And I see these young people back there, this whole row of keen young men. I think, these guys are touching people I could never touch. You're in school, right, guys? Do I have your attention?
Yes.
I'm focusing right in on you here, man. You guys are in a place where I couldn't touch them. You are there. Just your shining lights, guys. And you young ladies right behind you and all the rest of us. And then a few of us have got a... Some of you have gray hair. I wish I had hair. I admire anybody that can grow hair. But wherever we are in this life, got to keep at it. Keep at it. Be committed. Now, I promised to tell you this. We're talking about missions here. I have to be very frank. I never thought about missions. Got out of college, into the Navy, as I pointed out, 3 years out there, see the world through a porthole. Great life. Got out of the Navy, went to Ohio State University in a program that was brand new, contact lens fitting. Can you believe that's what I did before I went to seminary? Contact lens fitting. We did artificial eyes too at Ohio State University Eye Clinic. Then the Lord touched my heart and moved me to think of preparing for ministry. And never thought of missions, just ministry. And headed to Dallas Seminary. We were dating at the time, and then we broke up. But thank God we got back together, and I have my sweet wifey with me now. But watch how this worked. I never thought of missions. After my first year, we were married, and then my last year at Dallas Seminary, Libby and I ended up at a missions banquet. To this day, we can't remember if we bought the tickets or someone gave us the tickets. All I remember is we were there. Wasn't the speaker that God used, Dr. Francis Steele, an excellent speaker. It wasn't the film they showed. We still remember this, Boca Marias. It was a little man at the table, just engaging in conversation like any of you would do. He said to me, what do you do? I said, I'm a seminary student. At Dallas Seminary? I said, yes, sir. He said, what year? I said, I'm in my fourth year. And then you know the next question. You just sit there and wait for it. What do you plan to do when you graduate? Well, I said, well, I'd like to be a Christian education director or a pastor of some church. He said, have you ever thought about doing that overseas? I said, no, sir. He said, you mean you've never considered missions? I said, no, sir. He took off, this little short man, Newberry Cox, began to relate of his experience serving God in Guatemala. And the more he talked, the more I thought, why haven't I considered this? He had had to come back because of a heart attack. But Libby and I went back to our seminary apartment then. They call them Gaylord apartments. The thing has been leveled since then. It should have been leveled when we lived in it. I mean, it was terrible. That apartment was the pit. We had a rat die in the wall. But we did not have a single cockroach. They were all married and had hundreds of kids. It was terrible. We had furniture. We had early Halloween is what we had. On that old broken down couch, I discovered my wife had been praying behind my back. Her prayer was something like this. Lord, you know, I'm ready to go to the mission field. But now I'm hooked up with him. If you want me to the mission field, you've got to get him to the mission field. And it was that night. I said, honey, let's do it. Greatest decision we ever made in our lives. 10 fantastic years out there in the mission field. First in Guatemala, then El Salvador, then over in Spain. Then teaching missions for 17 years at Dallas. Then president of our mission, as you heard, the Central American Mission, CAM International. And now I'm back at Dallas, still in this thing, in the Spanish world with all these outstanding leaders from all over Latin America getting their doctorate in Spanish. And I was just thinking this morning, what if I hadn't been responsive that night? My dear wifey, thank God for her prayers. And young people, I want to talk to you again, especially you young people. If God begins to lead you that way, go for it. Don't miss it. I want us to feel it. Opportunity unlimited. And it demands that type of commitment. We commit ourselves to that. Now let's look at the conclusion of this little book. We anticipate God's awards. Whatever we do, watch this. He will give us an award. Look at verse 6. For I am already being poured out, says Paul, like an offering, a drink offering. The time has come for my departure. You know what the drink offering is. They pour that thing out on the fire altar. It goes, just vapor. He says, I'm ready to be poured out. My life is about over. He knows he's going to die. But he says, he has a great attitude. Let me write it down. Our attitude toward life should be like that. Look at when God wants to take me home, I'm going home. This should excite us more too. We're all going to heaven if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're going to heaven. You heard about the two ladies that got to heaven looking around? One said to the other, you know, we could have been here 5 years ago if it hadn't been for oat bran. He knows he's going to heaven. That's his attitude. Look at his action in life. What did he do? Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow. He kept at it. Talk about keep on. He did it. He fought the fight. He finished the race. He kept the faith. That should be our action. Let's do it. Whatever we do, keep at it. And finally, here's the award. I said there'd be an award. Here's our award, verse 8. Now, there is in store for me, says Paul, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. We're going to get a crown.
Amen.
And what will we do with the crowns? Cast them at Jesus' feet. When that offering is given, I don't want to be empty-handed. I'd like to have something to put there in that offering. Crown. And here's one right here. If we are anxious for his appearing, a crown of righteousness is given to us. Now, I want to just read here Paul's farewell, his concluding remarks, and I want you to notice something. This is a group effort. All of these people, you can read down through all these names, and I'm just going to read it. And just think of Paul writing this thing. I think at this point he's dictating, but he's dictating all these names. Let me just read the verse 9 through verse 18, and then I'll read those last few verses a little later. But watch this. Here's what he says. Paul to Timothy, do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me, has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke, dear old Dr. Luke, is with me. Get Mark, that's John Mark, bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left at with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. I was delivered from the lion's mouth. I think that's literal. He was headed to the lion's den. He says, I was delivered from that. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, before I read this last little part, I want to be very practical. Not everyone here is called to go. Missionaries are sent. And I want you to feel this. I thank God for senders. If we don't have any senders, we don't have any goers. It's just that simple. So I would like to sort of pass on a practical idea. All of us should respond to this. I was in a conference like this out on the West Coast. And I'll be honest, I didn't like the conference very well. I love this one. This is so well done, I can't believe it. This one was all pressure for money. You ever been in those deals? They lock the doors, keep taking offerings till they get what they want. Oh, man, this was so high pressure. They had this big thermometer right next to the pulpit. I hope we don't have a thermometer around here. That this thing standing right here. Oh, man, it was pressure, pressure, pressure. Money, money, money. It's driving me nuts. Tuesday, I went to the women's luncheon. I wasn't there to speak. I was there for the meal. And I hate women's luncheons. They never serve food. They always have salads and all this stuff on them. And I'm looking for some meat and potatoes like we had last night, man. Oh, man, but here's the salads. I'm not too happy crunching a stuffed celery stick there in that table. And I'm sitting there thinking, why do we talk about supporting missionaries? We always spell that with a dollar sign. Some people spell missions that way. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-S. It's all money. No. I got to thinking, I've got it. You don't support missionaries, you adopt missionaries. Adopt. You can't put a dollar sign in the word adopt if you try. So I, on a napkin, I wrote this down. Here's a little five-fold adoption plan. You might like to jot it down there. Five things you can do. Here's what you do. And you can do it right now. Take the notes you have. Turn the page over. On the back side, you have a list of all the missionaries of the church. Here they are. So here's what you want to do. Seriously, now everybody do this. Think about it. Go down through that list and select one. I'm going to start by adopting one of these people. Choose the one you want right now. Choose it. And here's what you do. Five things, and you'll see how this works. Choose one, and you go deep with these. Here's what you do. Five things. Daily. Daily pray. Now, I hope you pray for all the missionaries. But the one you adopt, daily you pray. Every single day. Get a prayer card. Get it up someplace where you can't miss it. And every day you pray for them. Daily. That's number one. Daily. Weekly, give. Yes, giving is important. We can't do it without some resources. And I'm going to say it here. Don't give till it hurts. That is not biblical. God loves a what? A cheerful giver. So give till you're happy. If you're not happy, give a little bit more. That's how to do this thing. Daily pray, weekly give. And this church is incredible. I notice it's mostly offering box. They don't even pass a plate except for the special missions offering. It's amazing. But you get some excitement out of the giving because you realize if I don't give, they're not there. So daily pray, weekly give, monthly write a letter. And email has made that so easy for us today to write a letter. Daily pray, weekly give, monthly write the letter. Quarterly, send a care package. Find out the things they can't get if they're overseas and send that in a package. Check the customs, of course. In Spain, we could not buy marshmallows. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy a marshmallow. Or dry yeast. Libby liked to bake. You can't get dry yeast in Spain. So find those things out, tuck it in the envelope, ship it off, and can you see us over there? Marshmallows! So what if they're all mushed up? Those are marshmallows. Daily pray, weekly give, monthly write the letter, quarterly send a care package. Finally, annually send birthday cards, anniversary cards. One final suggestion. Do not sign those cards in ink. It's another thing we couldn't buy in Spain, English birthday cards. So sign it lightly in pencil. Or stick a note in there so you can recycle this if you want to. And sure enough, you get it back for your birthday. I hope you get my point. What is missions? It's people sending people to reach people. That's the only way we're going to win the battle. But if we don't have people sending, we won't have people going. And therefore, the people out there who desperately need the Lord will never get the message. It is just that simple. It is across the street or around the world. People need the Lord. Now, let me conclude. I am convinced, starting in verse 19, Paul picks up the pen. He's been dictating. In many of his letters, he did that. Now he's going to write on his own, I think. And I can almost see him struggling to write this in the dim light of that cell. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to get here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. You just never know when God is going to use you to change the world. I went into my office between Christmas and New Year's, cranked up the email, and here were two messages that said the same thing. One from Tony Vasquez, a missionary from El Salvador to Spain. Another from one of our missionaries in El Salvador said, Gilberto Oriana has been imprisoned. Who's Gilberto Oriana? He was the director of the Symphony Orchestra of El Salvador, touched by God to reach Muslim people. Latins are fantastic for this task. So he and his wife and two teenage daughters, all of them accomplished musicians, moved into Morocco, Muslim to the core. They learned Arabic. They learned French, the whole nine yards, moved in there and worked in a music conservatory, helping the Moroccan people develop their talents. And he was leading, they were leading, scores of Muslim people to Christ. In fact, he was baptizing them in his bathtub in his apartment. But one of them turned out to be an informant. He was imprisoned. I got the news and I prayed. I said, oh God, help us. I knew it was no picnic to be imprisoned in Morocco for your faith. Then I thought, who can I call? I called Pat Cate, Dr. Pat Cate, president of Christar, and I knew he'd had a similar experience in Egypt. And he put me onto a good contact in Washington, D.C. John Hanford worked for Senator Lugar, spends almost all of his time helping persecuted Christians around the world. But that wasn't the key contact. I called Jim Warren, Moody Network in Chicago. And I got on the line. I knew he was on the air because I could hear the music in the background. And he said to me, I didn't know you were president of CAMNO. I thought you were still at Dallas. I said, no, I'm over here right now. And I explained the situation. He said, no problem. Soon as this song's over, you're on. I love radio. I'm sitting in Dallas. He's up in Chicago. And boom, we're talking to the nation. And that was the answer. People began to pray. Now, I want you to get excited how God might use you when you might least expect it. In a place called DeSoto, Texas, south of Dallas, church just like this, a guy's visiting the church. He's not even a member. He's sitting way in the back pew. He's a cattleman from West Texas visiting. So he sits way back. They're sort of half-tuned into the thing. When one of the men gets up and says, I heard this on the radio. I can't even pronounce his name. But this dear man has been imprisoned in Morocco. The cattleman sits back there and he hears that word Morocco and he says to himself, Morocco? I know the king of Morocco. He takes care of the cattle of the king of Morocco. So he calls me and says, you suppose I could help you? To make the long story short, Gilberto and the five Muslim converts that were imprisoned with him received a very serious sentence. The next day, they were all released. How did God do that? Cattleman from West Texas. I just talked to him recently. He said, the amazing part was that I had just returned from Morocco, and the king had been complaining about the lack of tourism in his country. Said, I used that. Do you feel it, my dear brother? We're in this thing together. God wants to use all of us to accomplish his purpose. Lord, as we conclude by singing this dynamic song of victory, I pray that you might work in our hearts, every one of us. Help us to respond with this simple little idea of adoption. Help us to focus on at least one and then watch you work. Don't let us sit on the sidelines, Lord. Get us involved, I pray. And use this church mightily for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much.